Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back with another episode of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome. You're welcome, Shirley.
You're welcome, too. And don't call me Shirley. Ashley.
That was a great conversation, by the way. Love Otto Craig, don't we?
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. It's I missed you. Last time we were on, I believe, was the 5th or something like that. It seems like it anyway.
What do you mean? We did last week on why the Torah starts with the letter Bet.
See, that's what I thought, too. I was like, I usually depend on my notes. I'm looking at my notes, and apparently I didn't take notes. You must have had me mesmerized last week.
Are you in the dark?
Probably. You know me.
You know, that's funny because I'm actually sitting here in the dark. It's funny because we've been talking about light and we talked about flashes of light last week. I'm sitting here in the dark as we do this.
That is so interesting, for sure. So your electricity is still off. How are you doing
No. We have electricity. We just have an issue with the lights in the office. Nowhere else in the house, just in my office. So it's an issue if I want to do video. It's hard because I have like this light over by my desk, an LED bar, but it doesn't put out enough light at night. Kind of gives me a Halloween vibe.
Oh, that's funny.
Not that we're into Halloween here, which I think is always funny because, you know, it's totally unrelated to what we're going to talk about today. But I always find it interesting living in Israel that when it comes around time for certain holidays, like during Purim, all the costumes and masks are clearly like Halloween costumes, a lot of them. You see a lot of masks and they even, you know, coming from China or wherever they come from, have like, you know, Halloween-y kind of labels on them. And then during Sukkot, which we just came out of, you have all these decorations like tinsel and things like that, which are clearly related to Christmas. So it's always funny when you see that here in Israel, these different holidays. But anyway, yeah, so last week we talked about why the Torah starts with the letter Bet. And I said maybe we'd continue, but then I started looking at Parshat Noach over Shabbat, and some things jumped out at me. So I don't even know what we're going to talk about today. I think we'll talk a little bit about, maybe continue a little bit about the Bet, and then really get into Noach. So we're going to have to go to a break, but stay with us. We will be right back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Israel News Talk Radio here with my dear brother Yitzhak Michelson. Rav, glad to see you have pushed forward and in your studies. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be doing the show right now. So glad you've done all this. And we're really enjoying all the gleaning that I get to do from you off this thing. Because truly, most of the show is me gleaning from you. I have like very little knowledge base on Kabbalah whatsoever. So I'm learning a lot from you. And I appreciate that. You know, we were mentioning today in our phone conversation earlier, or texting conversation earlier. Man, I wish we could have captured most of what we talked about earlier. That was so funny. But the whole reference to the airplane movie, you know, you said something and I said something. I said actually, or I was trying to say actually, and it came across as Ashley. Mm-hmm. And then you replied by saying, "Don't call me Shirley." I was in my mind. I should have responded, "Roger, Roger,
Roger, Roger."
So the spinoff on the whole autocorrect is something that just made me think about how our bodies and minds work on a regular basis. You know, we wake up, we thinking about, we got this intention to do all these things, perform all these mitzvahs, when we get distracted or something, a temptation comes along the way, or something causes us to slip up and hit the wrong letter. Right. Same idea, concept. And then I was thinking, based on the Torah letters, you know, I mean, who knows? How do you know it wasn't an autocorrect issue with the Torah, with the Aleph and Beis fighting over who was going to be first?
Well, actually, you can make the argument that it wasn't just the Aleph and the Bet, but all of the letters from a Kabbalistic standpoint. There are books, whole books written about this, about how each one of the letters appeared before Hashem.
I think I have that book, actually. I forget what it's called. I have a specific book that discusses it.
There's one that's related to the Holy Letters. There are books like the Tikkuni Zohar that just deals with the concept of Breishit from a Kabbalistic standpoint, just that one word throughout the entire Sefer. So I think it's interesting when you're talking about autocorrect and you talk about the kind of things that we do, how many times now people are so used to writing things. I mean, everybody's used to being involved in social media, whether you're on Facebook or whether you're on another platform, and you're writing things and you're posting things. And how many times do you mean to write one word and you write a completely different word?
Right.
Or you spell the word wrong. I find many times that I want to write the word an, A-N, and I end up spelling A-N-D, and. Mm. Or you want to say the word no, and you write K-N-O-W, to know. And I think oftentimes we have to take a step back and think to ourselves, is that autocorrect? Is that a mistake? Or was it really something subconsciously that I meant to do? I try to see something in everything. For instance, we just had a situation where, you know, I often talk about the fact that where I live, the street that I live on, just below, I can take a stairway down, a long stairway, but a stairway nonetheless, right down from my house down to the old cemetery in Sfat, where the Ari HaKadosh and many of the tzaddikim, the famous Kabbalists, are buried. And about a week and a half ago, there was a fire just above the cemetery, like just on the street, just on the other side of the wall from the street on where I live. Leia went down there and she took pictures, she took some video and so forth. I always think that that's interesting. It became even more powerful when two or three days later, there was another fire either even further down, closer to the Ari. And this is not the first time those kind of things happen. So when we start seeing things going on in the world, when you're in the midst of the Chagim, when you're in the midst of holy days, and then you start seeing these kind of things, whether we're talking about letters or we're talking about autocorrect, we're talking about, I look at all these things and I say, is there a message that's meant to be learned? Is something going on in Israel? Is something going on in the world that is causing, let's say, the tzaddikim to cause this holy fire to rise up? And it's not unusual. We've seen fires by the Ari many, many times. And fire is one of the things that we talk about, the Torah being made up of fire and water, you know, Esh and Mayim. So when we're talking about these things, all of these things are significant, and I don't think there's any mistakes. Even when I'm talking about how I sat down and looked at Parshat Noach this week on Shabbat, with Noach coming up, you know, the show airs on Tuesday, this coming Shabbat, will be in the second parsha, Parshat Noach, which talks about two different generations. We have what's called the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, and Dor HaFagla, the generation of division, the generation that was involved with building a tower in Bavel, or what some people call Babel. There are all kinds of things we can talk about. We can talk about the flashes of light that we talked about related to why the letter Bet is used instead of Aleph, and we could talk about Noah. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start today, William.
Sure. Right.
So.
Point and shoot.
Yeah. So I was going to say, but you know, when you're talking about Kabbalah, and these things are very lofty concepts that we're talking about, but at the same time, they're very fundamental concepts. I know sometimes they're very difficult to understand, but they're very important fundamental concepts that people need to learn if they're interested in Kabbalah. And there's so many people that reach out today or listen to the show and they say, you know, is it something I can learn? Is it something I should learn? Is it something I can learn? And so when we start talking about these things, when we start talking about the Sefirot, the Eitz Chaim, and these 10 attributes or emanations, and then we start talking about different worlds like Atzilut and Biryah and Yetzirah and Asiyah and so forth, all of these things have a significance to them. And it's important fundamentally for people to learn these kind of things and understand that nothing is a mistake. Whether the Torah started with the letter Bet is not a mistake. And when you autocorrect, it may not be a mistake. And when fires break out, it may not be a mistake. These all may be significant things that you have to take a step back and say, why? Why is it happening?
Or why was it allowed to happen, right?
Or why was it allowed to happen?
It's like, don't let the, you know, one of the Torah laws is to be sure to put a fence or a guardrail upon your roof. But in the text, it says so that the fallen one doesn't fall. Like, so he's bound to do it, but don't let it be your roof that he falls from. Right. So it kind of all ties together, I think.
So just to kind of go over a little bit of what we talked about last week, towards the end of what we were talking about, how at the level of Atzilut, that upper world, Atzilut, which comes from the verb root leha'atzil, this idea to emanate. Again, it's not some just word that's made up, Atzilut. It comes from a verb which means to emanate. So it's coming from a world of emanation. And we said that at that level, at the level of Atzilut, it's not where we can really have an understanding, that it's related to this concept of thought, but thought, I described it as sort of a silent contemplation. And only when we get into the next world below that, Biryah, which is related to creation, that corresponds to the concept of Hirhur, which means oscillating thought. So it's where things start to open up a little bit. And then we said at Yetzirah, the world below that, that corresponds to Dibor, the idea of speech. And then Asiyah corresponds to Ma'aseh, to the idea of doing deeds. Asiyah is the world that we live in, the level of Malchut, and that's the world of deeds. So you could talk about this idea of doing the mitzvot. And we finished off with a verse in Eov, Job chapter 28, verse 18, talking about a pouch of wisdom is better than rubies. Pure gold cannot be weighed against it. But whence does wisdom come? Where is the source of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all beings, concealed from the fowl, or some would say it's angelic beings of the heavens. God understands the way to it. He knows its source, for he sees to the ends of the earth. He observes all that is beneath the heavens. When he fixed the weight of the winds, he set the measures of the waters. When he set an ordinance for the rain and a course for the thunder, he saw it, and he declared it. He measured it, yes, and he examined it. See, the fear of God is wisdom. To shun evil is understanding. So just to expound a little bit on that, when we say he saw, that is related to that idea of machshava, that idea of pure thought corresponding to the world of Atzilut. And then when we see in that verse, he declared, that's from Hihor, that idea of oscillating thought related to the world of Beriah. Where it says he measured, that's related to speech, Dibor, corresponding to the world of Yetzirah. And then this idea that he examined is related to Ma'aseh, the idea of deeds, this idea of mitzvot corresponding to the world of Asiyah, which is at our level, the level of Malchut. And the reason, really, so when we go back to this idea of the reason the Torah begins with Bet of Bereishit, is because the letter Bet is sort of open on one side. It's enclosed on three sides, so in a sense, its form is like that of the world. It's, in other words, you could say that the intention behind this was that if any man would think to declare himself maybe divine, people would challenge him to create, to complete the fourth side of the world. This would be an example of somebody let's say, a Roman emperor, for instance. Or we could think about somebody else. When you talk about Christianity, the intention would be that if somebody would declare themselves as deity or equal to Hashem, equal to God, they would have to be challenged to be able to create and complete the fourth side of the world, that open idea of the Bet. So, for instance, we're going to have to go to break. So when we come back, we'll pick this up again. I just want to talk about the Roman emperor thing, because there's something related to Caius Caligula, and it talks about this in the Talmud. So stay with us. We're going to be right back after a short break here on The Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. William and I couldn't decide what we were going to talk about, and it flowed into a continuation of last week's show, where we kind of talked about the beginning, how sort of the beginning from the beginning, and we've been talking about why the Torah started with the letter Bet as opposed to starting with the letter Aleph, the first letter in the Aleph Bet. In the last segment we just finished up, I mentioned the idea that a Bet is open on one side and closed on three sides, and talked about this idea of, I used the example of Roman emperor. So there's something in the Talmud related to Caius Caligula. I talked about a Roman emperor. So it says in the Gemara, it says, it happened once that Shimon HaTzadik, who was the Kohen HaGadol, heard a bat kol. He heard a voice from heaven come forth from the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the Kodesh Kedoshim is the Holy of Holies, announcing the enemy's decree in the Mikdash has been annulled. The enemy's decree is talking about that Caius Caligula was one of those Roman emperors that decided he wanted to place a statue of himself within the Mikdash, within the Holy Temple. And it goes on and it says, at that moment, in another part of the world, Caius Caligula was slain and his decrees annulled. And then it goes on and it says, it was noted down the time when the Bat Kol spoke, and it actually lined up exactly with the time of Caligula's assassination. We see that in the Gemara in Sota 33a, and then it's supported by Josephus in the Jewish War, Book 2, Chapter 9, Verse 1. So we already brought up this idea that the Beit is breached only on one side, on a single side. So keep in mind that from a Kabbalistic standpoint, tradition is always clothed, and we have information about the hidden spiritual dimension that lies behind our world in scientific facts of the time. One of the things I always bring up, and I was talking to somebody that I learned with, and I was talking about how interesting it is, and we've mentioned it many times on this show, is the idea, and I don't think people realize, to me, it's so significant that I might even repeat it every show we're on, is the idea that up until 1972, scientists believed that the universe was eternal. And it was only in 1972 that the idea of a Big Bang theory came about, that they suddenly decided, oh, the universe has a beginning. Now, they may not believe in the Bible, and they may not believe in the creation story, but they did change their tune about the universe not having a beginning and suddenly believe that the universe has a beginning. So that's what I'm talking about when we say that Kabbalistic tradition sort of always is hidden, has this hidden spiritual dimension that lies behind the world in the scientific facts of the time, so that we see the sages of Judaism, like Ramban, that Nachmanides, that was writing, you know, things related to Kabbalah like 1,000 years ago that now are being made known. When you start talking about things like string theory and M theory, which are modern concepts in physics, you start hearing them talking about 10-dimensional universes and 11-dimensional universes, which sounds very much like the Sefirot, 10 dimensions or 10 attributes or 10 emanations. And then you have the 11th, which is Da'at, that sits in between Chokmah and Binah. So one of the things that we see is with the Maharal of Prague, one of the famous commentators, he says that the sages did not concern themselves in the least with physical phenomena, but with essence, meaning that they were always looking at the underlying spiritual essence. And that's the same thing that we're trying to say here. We're trying to say that in the things that you and I are talking about, William, whether you're talking about autocorrect, or you're talking about all these different things that we see going on in the world, that we always have to say to ourselves, what is the underlying spiritual essence, rather than looking at the physical phenomena?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are crazy things going on in the world today. But are we really supposed to focus on that physical phenomena, or are we supposed to ask ourselves the question, why is this happening, and what is the spiritual ramifications of what's happening?
Right.
The Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, expands a little bit on this, and he says our sages of blessed memory encoded much of this esoteric tradition that they had received in matters related to nature or astronomy, let's say. In other words, what they did was they utilized the knowledge of nature and astronomy that was accepted among non-Jewish scholars of their time. So, for instance, we talked last week a little bit about Aristotle and Plato and what they believed, where they didn't deny the concept of God, but what they did was they only accepted God as maybe somebody who could take material that already existed to create, rather than being the creator of that material as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though that they accepted the knowledge of, let's say, non-Jewish scholars, they never intended, again, to teach the physical facts concerning the phenomena, but rather to utilize those facts as garments or vehicles for the secrets of, you know, mystical or Kabbalistic concepts. And garments are very important. I was talking to somebody the other day, somebody who's fairly new to Tzfat, fairly new to Judaism. Really, he has a very interesting story. He's a guy that grew up in the Pacific Northwest. And he says the only thing he knows about being Jewish was he was about 8 years old, and his grandfather told him he was a Kohen, and he had no idea what that meant.
Oh, no kidding.
And about, I want to say, in the last 4 or 5 years, what he did was he went on the internet and he started researching, and he ended up contacting a rabbi from Eish HaTorah, and he started talking to that rabbi, and little by little he started, you know, getting more involved in Judaism. And like in the last year and a half, he decided to move to Tzfat, to make Aliyah, and move to Tzfat, and he's learning little by little. But one of the things I said to him, the reason why I bring it up is because we were standing down on that street that I was talking about, that's just above the cemetery, and we were talking about the fire, and I was talking to him about some of the same things that we're talking about now. And I said to him, look out, look at the beautiful stars. Look at this beautiful city. Look at Mount Meron across the valley there, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, is buried. And look at all the beautiful lights and everything that we see. I said, but do you realize that we're looking at physical phenomena, but at the end of the day, those are all just garments. We call them levushim. They're just garments. They're curtains that block the truth. One of the reasons why years ago I started in radio and I called the first show I ever did Beyond the Matrix is because this world, in a spiritual sense, is a matrix. Everything you see, even though I'm able to sit here and touch my desk and I'm talking into a microphone that's connected to wires and we're using computers and we're using technology to talk to each other and broadcast and everything else, this is all an illusion. It's all illusion. All of these things are just garments of physicality that are blocking the spiritual world, and that's what we're really meant to do. We're really meant to look past these garments and really see the spiritual essence. And once we do that, then we're able to kind of press in. Then we're able to have this more intimate relationship with the Creator. And that's really what why I talk about these things and why I teach these things. It's not about me sounding like I know what I'm talking about, or trying to be important or use lofty concepts or lofty words. My real intention in this is to learn these things and to teach these things first and foremost so that I can draw closer to the Creator, so I can press in, so that these things that I'm trying to say to everybody else become real in my life, but to teach you and those that are listening to do the same thing, to look past the physicality of this world, to understand that the Kabbalah is meant to teach you secrets of Torah, but only so that you use it for the right intention, that you use it for its sake, only for the sake of everything that we do. We only do the mitzvot for the sake of serving the Creator. We only do everything that we do for the sake of drawing closer to the Creator. So that really is. And so when we're talking about intention, the intention was to clothe the hidden tradition in the accepted knowledge of their generation, talking about the sages, that very tradition could have been clothed in a different garment according to what was accepted, for instance, scientific fact in other generations, but they didn't do that. And in fact, the originator of that particular agadic statement, talking about the Ramchal, would have done so himself had he stated it in those other generations. We see that related to what the Ramchal was talking about, what the Maharal of Prague was talking about. So we have to let the words of the Maharal and the Ramchal be sort of a guiding lamp as we continue looking further into the teachings of the Holy Ari, what the Ari taught, and what Rabbi Chaim Vital gave to us, being the main student and the scribe of the Ari, giving these things over. We're going to have to go to a break, William. And when we come back, we're going to go a little bit further and not get anywhere close to really answering the reason for why the Torah starts with Bet. But stay with us. We will be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On the Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and myself, William Hall, which I failed to mention in the beginning, but I figured you guys would figure it out by now. So, all right, so as we're getting into the shape of the letter bet, say it, with open side and with the top curving down and the flat line on the bottom, all these different concepts of shapes and sizes. One thing that I had heard in the comparison of which letters were good for starting the Torah was that, like, the letter, a lot of the other letters had negative words connotated with their first letter. You know, like bracha would be a good one for the letter bet. So I think there was a lot of consideration with that and more aspects as well, as you've mentioned. So, but meanwhile, at the Batmobile, the letter bet, as in Batmobile, is open on one side.
Yes.
So let's talk more about the shape of this thing.
Yeah. So before we do that, I want to tell you there's really something very significant about the letter Aleph as well. And if you look at the Aleph, the Aleph can be seen as a Yud above and a Yud below with a Vav in between. And so when you're talking about garments or curtains, there is a whole teaching on the whole concept of Aleph. Like I said, being a Yud above, a Yud below, and a Vav in between, being that curtain between the upper Yud and the lower Yud. But that's a whole another story for another day. But I figured I'd throw it out there just to get people salivating a little bit. So When we're talking about this idea of the bet being opened or breached on one side, there's again, bringing a verse from Eov, from the book of Job, it talks about that this being Tzafon, the north, which is significant for me because Tzfat actually is considered Tzafon in the north. Sometimes even when you write your address, you will write Tzafon because there is no, it's not like we have states in Israel. You live in a city and you're either in Tzafon in the north, Darom in the south, Merkaz in the center. So Tzfat is in Tzafon in the north. And that breach side of the bet is considered the north side of the world based on a verse in Eov that says, Note Tzafon al Tohu. He stretches forth the north over chaos or emptiness and suspends the earth upon Blima. Blima, nothingness, or bli, we would say in modern Hebrew, bli is without, ma, without what? So it's this idea of nothingness. And so it's this concept that the Holy One, blessed be He, placed the firmament, what we call the rakia, over all the other directions, east, west, and south, as sort of a kippah, as a, you know, kippah, like you wear on your head, which can also mean dome, placed over walls, and only over the breached north side of the world is that firmament suspended over this idea of emptiness or this idea of tohu, what's considered emptiness or chaos. The physical evidence for this spiritual principle that we're talking about could be found in the fact that when ships are traveling from north to east or to the northwest, they cannot travel west along the northern border. Instead, they take a long roundabout route, traveling south along the eastern border, then west along the southern border, and then north along the western border until they reach their destination in the northwest. So if anybody knows anything about shipping and shipping routes and being a captain, they would understand that there's physical evidence for the things that we're talking about in spiritual terms. Because if they could travel straight along the northern border, they would do it because it's shorter. But that border is breached like a city whose northern wall has been destroyed, and therefore ships can't travel that way. So we always have to remember that Kabbalah is this transmission of spirituality that we're talking about. And the Kabbalists were very careful to transmit what they received in the way that they received it, meaning that they, whoever brought this down, whether it was, let's say, the Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, bringing down his Kabbalistic thoughts, and then the Ari bringing something down to Rabbi Chaim Vital or the Ramchal or Ramban, any of them. They were all very careful to only share what they received, even if it didn't make sense physically. Why? Because they understood that at some point in the future, there might be somebody that would be able to receive what had been transmitted and understood exactly what had to be understood. So when you look back at some of the things that we're talking about in physicality, you could say that you had Ramban, who talked about things like 1,000 years ago, and you had some of the Kabbalists that talked thousand years or more, or within 1,000 years, or say 500 years, in that time, like in the 1500s, 1600s, in the times of the great Kabbalists in Sfat, for instance, might have talked about the universe. And then now we're seeing, like I said, in 1972, in a physical sense, again, that things that they talked about back then, that they gave over, that would have made no physical sense at the time they talked about it, in the 1500s or 1600s, now even non-observant Jews or non-observant non-Jews, scientists, now made sense of the things that they talked about 500 or 600 years ago. So we have a rule, and this is a paraphrase, that he who makes fun of the outer package is not worthy of receiving the gift that it contains. It really comes down to tuning your brain to receive the information, because you never know that someday, somehow, it might all come together, meaning that you could be listening to this right now, whether it's you, William, or it's somebody else, or even me. I could be saying things that I'm trying to make sense of, and you may not understand them right this second as I'm saying them. Or maybe you're out there and you listen to the show and you're trying to study the Zohar, you're trying to study some other work of Kabbalah, and you're trying to make sense of it. The idea is to recognize that you may not understand it now, but there may come a point where at some time these things will be revealed to you, as long as you don't make fun of them like we're talking about. And if you thought that what we're talking about above was difficult, Rav Chaim Vital is writing this somewhere before the year 1620. He writes this: "Behold, the entire thickness of the earth, compared to the depth of the Atlantic Ocean, is like that of a mustard seed. For the Atlantic Ocean is 500 years deep, whereas the thickness of the earth is a mere 7 years." So think about that. He's saying that, he's basically saying, in essence, he's kind of giving you a mathematical formula saying that it would take you 500 years to span it by foot. Meaning, like, if you were trying to walk the Atlantic Ocean, it's 500 years deep. Meaning, if you tried to walk the Atlantic Ocean, it would take you 500 years to walk it by foot.
Okay.
So,
and why 7 for the earth?
So he says, whereas the thickness of the earth is a mere 7 years. Meaning that if you were going to walk from the center of the earth to the surface of the earth, it would only take you 7 years, as opposed to walking the Atlantic Ocean for 500 years. So these things don't make sense to us in a physical sense, but if you look at science, now I don't know, actually have never looked to see whether or not scientists have mapped that out to see whether or not it would take you 500 years to walk the depth of the Atlantic Ocean, or if it would take you 7 years by foot to walk the thickness of the earth. But these are things that he said before the year 1620. He's giving over. The point that I'm trying to make is that, as crazy as it sounded, he was giving over something that didn't make sense maybe to him. It didn't make sense to other people, but he had to give it over in that way because he was under the assumption that one day somebody would understand exactly what he was saying. And I'll say that kind of brings you into... But it kind of brings you into the concept of Parshat Noach. Why? Because Noach is asked to build a teva. He's asked to build an ark. Did anybody have any clue why he was building it? Did he even have any clue why he was building it?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He was asked to build something, and at that time, we don't even know whether or not they understood the concept of a storm like that, or the possibility that there would be rain or rain in the way that we're talking about, where a deluge would come upon the entire earth, not just the 40 days and 40 nights, but the idea that it lasted for as long as it did and stayed upon the earth as long as it did, and then was a complete year mm-hmm. before the waters receded. But the truth is that no matter how anybody made fun of him, no matter what, he understood that what he received, as confusing as it was, and no matter the fact that it didn't make sense to him or anybody else, that he had to be true to what he heard and what he received, because at some point it was going to be made known. And in his case, it came sooner rather than later. It didn't take 400 or 500 years, like we're talking about science, to come up to the idea of the universe having a beginning. For Noah, thank God, it was much sooner. Anyway, we are out of time as usual, and I'm hoping.
Kind of accustomed to. I mean, it's basically all of these shows are really set up to be teasers anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. To provoke you to, if you're interested in this sort of thing, to look into it more. I mean, this is definitely, there's no way it can fit everything you want to talk about in there for sure. Right. So, but I think we covered.
We've
a lot
only
of stuff.
Breached the subject.
Right. Right. Sure.
Like the bet.
Yes, sir.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you, William. Thanks, everybody, for being with us every week here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We will see you next week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.